We are still dealing with the subject in this Bible study time titled How to Overcome Temptation, Part 75. And I want to say a big welcome, a huge welcome to the onward Christian soldiers discipleship class. My name is Daniel White III, president of Gospel Light Society and pastor of Gospel Light House of Prayer International. For those of you who have never been here before, the purpose of this time together is to teach young believers everything they need to know about their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and provide them with the knowledge they need to live victorious Christian lives. Our key Bible verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. This is the verse that we started this long series on. And the Bible reads, There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So whatever temptation you're facing this morning, this afternoon, this evening, tonight, today, or at any other time in your life, God has worked things out for you to escape it and be able to bear it. Our lesson today is titled, How to Overcome Temptation, Part 75. In this section of our Onward Christian Soldiers Discipleship class, we are looking at specific temptations that are, as the Bible says, common to man. We are looking at what the Bible says about these temptations and sins so we can be aware of its dangers and so that we can hide Holy Scripture in our hearts to use when we are tempted. And it's best to have the Word of God in your heart before you attempt it. The sin that we are looking at today is the sin of sloth. This is the fourth sin in a list of 12 temptations or sins that comes from two sources, one ancient and one modern. The first source is a list that was developed by monks in the early church called the Seven Deadly Sins or the Cardinal Sins. The second source is a Bonner survey from 2011, which tracked the top temptations Americans admitted to struggling with. Today we will be looking at Proverbs 10:4. Remember, the text of this lesson is made available online after each class, so you can go to our website, glhopi.com, Gospel Lighthouse of Prayer International.com. You can type in one of those things in, and you will come to our site. Click on the Onward Christian Soldiers banner on the home page and begin to learn these verses by heart. Hide them in your heart throughout the week so that you can be prepared for the temptations that you will face. Proverbs 10:4, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. My God, my God, the Word of God, help us to love it, cherish it, and to obey it. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Now, Lord, help us to take heed to it. For our problem is not being able to read your holy word or not being able to read your holy word. Our problem is not taking heed to your holy word and not obeying it. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins, failures, and faults. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit to be obedient to you and to your holy word and to your Holy Spirit. For the greatest lesson in life after being saved is learning how to be obedient to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. If you have not passed him what he needs over here. Did you bring that over? Huh? You didn't? You have it? Okay, go ahead and do something with that. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Matthew Henry said concerning this powerful passage in the Word of God, he said, we are here told, number one, as only he can say it, who those are who, though rich, are in a fair way to become poor. Those who deal with a slack hand, people who are callous and remiss in their business, and never mind which end goes foremost, nor ever set their hands vigorously to their work or stick to it. Those who deal with a deceitful hand, so it may be read as only Matthew Henry can put it, those who think to enrich themselves by fraud and tricking will in the end impoverish themselves not only by bringing the curse of God on what they have, but by forfeiting their reputation with men. None will care to deal with those who deal with sleight of hand and are honest only with good looking too. Number two, who those are who, though poor, are in a fair way to become rich. Those who are diligent and honest, who are careful about their affairs and what their hands find to do, do it with all their might in a fair and honorable way. Those are likely to increase what they have. The hand of the acute, so some say, of those who are sharp but not shoppers, the hand of the active, the stirring hand gets a penny. This is true in the affairs of our souls as well as in our worldly affairs. Slothfulness and laziness and hypocrisy lead to spiritual poverty, but those who are fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, are likely to be rich in faith and rich in good works as well. End of quote. Amen, somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a great debate happening in our society today about wealth. And not only wealth but and inequality. Many people, all the way over, many people seem to be upset at rich people, millionaires, billionaires, and Fortune 500 CEOs who have amassed huge amounts of money, huge fortunes. They feel like their money ought to be redistributed to poorer people. However, while the rich do have a responsibility from God to help the poor, for the poor will always be with you, we must understand that many wealthy individuals in our society worked hard, worked long, and worked smart to get what they have today. Think of Bill Gates and Microsoft, Jeff Bezos and Amazon, Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook, Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway, the vision that they had, the vision that they had, the dreams that they had, and, if you will, the faith to follow those dreams instead of playing it safe and getting a job and making $150,000 a year, maybe a little less, a little more. All of these people created something from scratch, worked on it until it became a success, and now they are reaping the benefits. That is what Proverbs 10:4 is talking about. This verse contrasts the diligent and the slackers, the lazy ones. A diligent person is one who is constant in effort to accomplish something. Are you that way? Constant in effort to accomplish something. I believe God gives everybody a vision. Pardon me. I believe God gives everybody an idea. I believe God puts in the heart of every man something to do and do something great. If God gave it to you, it is great. But so many people fall down. They're slackers. They're lazy. And they refuse to work hard. And they refuse to get the necessary education. Many in our society today would call them losers, failures, people who like to blame others, and people who want to suck other people dry of what they have because they refused to work and to stick to something long enough to make it be what it could be. And we have a lot of people like that today in our society. These people were attentive and persistent in doing something, pursuing something with persevering, painstaking attention. The multinational billion-dollar companies, million-dollar companies that exist were not built in a day. Somebody had to work diligently to get those companies off the ground, often beginning with one product being made in a garage or basement. Think about Apple, Steve Jobs, and his computer whiz friend. Look how they turned the world upside down, following a vision, yes, that God gave them, because God created everybody, a dream, succeeding and then failing and failing and then succeeding, being fired from your own company and then having to come back to save the company. He could have gone off to an island somewhere and enjoyed the rest of his life. But he stuck with it. He had a vision. He had a dream. And he stuck with it and he changed the world. How about you, dear friend? Has God given you a vision? I know he has. The question is, will you stick with it? Will you fight for it? Will you work hard for it? I know of somebody right now, they should have their doctorate. They should be making $250,000 a year just from their field, not mentioning books and other things that could have happened for them. They had an opportunity to go to college years ago, but they refused. Why? Because of laziness. Why? Because of slothfulness. Why? Because of being a slacker, being an excuse maker, trying to blame others. And now they have nothing. And they could have done something with their lives, and it's highly likely that they will go to their grave not accomplishing what they could have accomplished for the glory of God, for the help of many people, and for benefit to themselves. Diligent work often brings great riches in the end. The slacker, on the other hand, is someone who is negligent. Isn't that right? Callous or remiss. Slow moving. May God deliver us from people who don't get it. Have you ever been around people who are just slow? They can't even get to what they're supposed to be doing because they're slow doing basic stuff. Sluggish. They drag everywhere they go. They drag. Lazy. Slothful. Slow moving or indolent. Not active. Not busy. I'm preaching a new series now on Saturdays titled Watch, Pray, and Work. Watch, pray, and work. That's what Christians ought to be doing. Watching, praying, and working. Amen, somebody. We got some folks watching. We got some folks praying. We have very few folk working. This type of behavior leads to poverty. Diligent action leads to positive dividends. Slack or the lack of action always leads to devastating results. And I like what some people are doing. It's sad still to me. God gave them a vision to do something on their own. God gave them ideas. God gave them talent to have their own bakery shop, but yet they would rather work at McDonald's. What a shame. But what I do like about it, at least they're working. At least they're working. But in many cases, God really wants you to work on the thing He gave you to work on, so that you can be a blessing to many more people and be free to serve Him. I said this before and I'll say it again. Thank God we have been freed from slavery, but both black people and white people in this country, we still have many who have a slave mentality. I didn't say a slave master mentality, but a slave mentality. It's just something in you that you refuse to work for yourself. You just have got to work for somebody else. You don't feel like you're working until you're working for somebody else. Somebody is ruling over you and making money off of you. And they are free to fly and go wherever they want to go and do what they want to do. And you're filled with envy and jealousy because you got to stay behind and flip some hamburgers while they're on the beach in the Bahamas. But, as I said, at least you're working. If that's what you want to do for the rest of your life, you go right ahead and do this. Or do that. But I want you to remember, God gave you a vision to open up, if you will, your own McDonald's. Why can't you be an owner of a McDonald's? How about that? And may God help you if you have 2 degrees, 1 degree, and you still have that slave mentality where you have to go and work for somebody instead of creating what God told you to create, and you work for God and yourself. Will it be tough for a while? Yes. Will you be able to live in a big fine house on Pork Chop Hill? No. Will you have to eat beans and rice and some ramen noodles? Yes. Will you have to drive a VW old 1969 bug or no car at all? Yes. But those are the sacrifices the people made to make McDonald's a multi-billion dollar business around the world. They didn't get anybody to do that. God gave you something special to do so that you can be free to serve Him. And you're refusing to do it because you don't want to make the sacrifice. You want to live high on the hog now when you should be suffering now so that you can live high on the hog later, if you will, and if you want to. But it's something about having your own and something about spending your own money that will prevent you from living extravagantly even in the future. There are billionaires who still drive an old truck that's paid for, refuse to buy another truck. Billionaires who still live in the same old house they've always lived in. We see here, ladies and gentlemen, that a connection is made between work and wealth. If you listen to Dave Ramsey, he does not try to snow you with magic money. He makes it very clear. Somehow, some way, you have to work to generate wealth and to pay for the things you need and the good things you desire. He makes it very clear. Yes, he's all for good investments. He's all for making good investments. He's all for investing in your house. That's fine and dandy for retirement purposes and all of that. But he never says you can go without working. You need to work in this life. And working hard is the way to wealth. And he's leading many people to millionaire status by telling them you must get out of debt, and here's how to get out of debt. You might need to work 2 or 3 jobs. He does not bring up any schemes. He could have a major multi-level marketing thing going on. As far as I know, he does not. I hope he never does. But he could make millions if he did that. But he never talks about that. He talks about getting a job. He talks about starting a business. And he prefers that. And let me be clear. He prefers you starting a business and working your behind off in that business. A guy called him one day and said, listen, I'm thinking about buying another car so I can do this little delivery business for this other company. He said, well, what are you doing right now? He said, I have my own business online, a marketing business online. He said, you don't need to buy another car to work for somebody else. You need to get in front of that computer and work for yourself. He said, you'll do far better with that than working for somebody else out here driving and delivering things or people. So, beloved, if you want wealth, you must work. Everybody say that. If you want wealth, you must work. And you must work hard. May God deliver us from lazy people, slothful people, who get mad at you when you succeed, get jealous of you and envious of you because you prayed hard, you thought hard, you worked hard, and now they want what you have, and they're mad because you won't give it to them. And if you have a lazy member of your family, I don't care who it is, if you're working hard, you're praying hard, you're thinking hard, don't give them the benefits of your money and your hard work. You show them how to do it, and that is they must work their behinds off. Instead of getting angry at the so-called rich, the so-called elite, or the top 1%, or the wealthiest 3%, set your hand, amen, somebody, to diligent work. And if you have an opportunity to go to college, don't play games. Don't be a slacker in college. You listen to me, and you listen to me well. Your success is going to come out of your hard work and hitting those books. I've said this before. I have repeated myself. I will say it again. College is not really for people who want to come out and find a job. Are you kidding me? Unless it's a major, great-paying job like $500,000 a year, something like that, that will make you rich and wealthy. College is for you hitting the books, reading every word of the textbooks, listening very closely to your professor. And out of that four-year degree or whatever it is, God will give you a vision, in most cases, give you an idea, and cause you to create something out of that education that was not there before that the world needs. That's the value of true education. Not just to prepare you to get a job. If you need to get a job to fund your vision, fine, do that. But out of that education, God will give you an idea that nobody else thought of. And he wants you to bring that idea to fruition. Many people don't do it. You know why? Because they get bogged down in a job. And they get tied to that job. They get duped into living off that little money from the job that they never create the kind of life that Bezos has created, that Gates has created, and others, where they can now use all of those millions and billions of dollars to help others, help the causes at least that they are interested in. It might be animals, it might be poor people in Africa, it might be people who are getting caught up in trafficking. But they have the time and the money to do great things to help people. And you can have the same. You will never have it if you, listen to me carefully, you will never have it if you only want to work for others for the rest of your life. Oh, yes, you'll have a week vacation out of a year, and you'll get a 401k, and may God bless you. If that's what makes you happy, then if that floats your boat, you go ahead on and do that. But I think life is too short to be working for somebody else and watching them enjoy life and make money off of you. Now, that's free. If you work hard now, in the future, you can obtain a comfortable and possibly materially abundant life for yourself and your family. It is a tried and true principle of the Word of God. And so, dear friend, if you struggle with the sin of slothfulness, being a slacker, being lazy, take this passage to heart and begin to use it the next time you face that temptation to stay in the bed till 12 o'clock noon instead of getting up and going to find a job or staying up all night investing in your business and making it happen, making it work. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this passage of Scripture. Yes, it is very convicting, and that's good. Help us all to confess our sins of laziness, slothfulness, people who love pleasure but don't love the pain of work. And Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit to change from the inside out, to not be slackers, to not be lazy, to not be slothful. And Lord, that vision, that dream you put in our hearts, help us to fulfill it. Help us to get it done. And it will be a benefit to others and to ourselves. And we'll look back and give you the praise. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you are here today, you happened upon us, and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and the free pardon of your sins. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And dear friend, if you believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day, and pray and ask him to save you, he will save you. And I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer right now, called the Sinner's Prayer. If you're believing in your heart right now in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for you, was buried, and rose again, pray and ask him the Savior right now. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. A sinner by nature and a sinner by choice. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me for breaking some of your Ten Commandments, which I understand causes me to break all of your Ten Commandments. Holy Father God, please have mercy and grace upon me, a sinner, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. I receive you as my Savior. I believe your holy gospel, that you died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. That you paid my sin debt. And I don't deserve to go to heaven. I deserve to go to hell. But I thank you for saving my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to gospellightsociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.